we'll get back over into where we are in Romans. And actually, we were at the end of a little bit of an excursus on a matter of judging because of what Paul had brought out. And of course, the 16th chapter here again is more or less what we would consider a postscript to the letter, a part of the letter, but Paul had already concluded in chapter 15 at the end where he said, "Now the God of peace be with you all, amen." Then he launched into addressing some specific people and their influences and their help through the years. And then he turned in verse 16 and encouraged them, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." And then in thought for their well-being and what they face in verse 17, "I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." And we talked about the matter of judgment in the light of scriptures. And again, folks that will wrench scriptures and take them out of context, and you know, judge not that you be not judged, and not reading the context, like that poor lady that wrote me, and thanks to the Gospels, the Beatitudes, and the golden rule. It's like, man, you know, it's just sad. Grew up in church, talked to me about her grandfather was a Methodist preacher, all high up in the Methodist, and a 32nd degree Mason. That was going to impress me. And then, and of course, she originally contacted me. I'm getting off topic because she's in the DAR. And she saw something about our services at the cemetery, and she was interested in some of that kind of stuff and genealogy things. You know, it's sad. Some people, they get into those things, and it's like, you know, Masonry, DAR, and all that stuff. Some of it almost becomes like their religion. Folks are just blind. They're just blind. And again, as Brother Dale said there, "But for the grace of God, that'll go we." But it's necessary to speak out the truth. You know, as Paul was hearing, specifically relative to those who are proclaiming a false gospel and false prophets. And so, first of all, we saw it is proper to practice judgment. It is proper biblically to expose false teachers. And we were ended up last week, and I'll conclude the end of it here, is, you know, the fact of naming names. And we see throughout scriptures, from the Old Testament on, you know, on through the apostles and the Lord himself. You know, naming names. Why, you know, not to directly attack somebody. It's not, don't you see Obama, you know, this whole thing about the Republicans are opposing Obamacare, and it's like, you know, they're taking on me. It's like it's about me. You know, they're trying to diss me. These people, it's like, no, it's not. It's about right and wrong, or it should be. And that's why we have to speak out and name names, because folks are preaching wrong. And even sometimes when it's a brother, we saw about, you know, Peter and when Paul had to address him. Another time that comes to my mind is naming name, you know, prophet of God in the Old Testament. He kind of goes a roundabout way of naming name. And if you'll remember the case we find over in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 1. "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay on his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, because he hath no pity. They didn't talk about naming names. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Whoa. You know, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thee. And I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I lost my place. Wives unto thy bosom. And gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given thee such and such things. Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Amnon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Now there's a prophet of God. He named names, and he named the name to David's face. And again, you know, we're not calling here to nitpick, you know, or to act a part of the hypocritical Pharisee. I'm sure, you know, we don't all cross our T's and dot our I's. I'm sure we might even disagree about something. And amongst the brethren, we're talking about things here of great moral import. David took another man's wife and arranged for his murder. These false prophets, they're not just weak or ill-informed, as Paul was dealing with earlier in the book of Romans. These folks are speaking forth falsehoods. They're speaking forth and setting forth poison. And we have to hold people accountable, even if they're brethren. I mean, David, the scripture says he was a man after a God's own heart. You know, by the time come, the prophet had to stand up to him and say, you're the man. You're the man. We have to hold, you know, those who are in position of leadership, whether they be teachers or prophets or kings, to account. You know, lest they pollute and destroy the people of God. And I'll get into a little bit, maybe another example a little bit later, but, you know, there was Jehoshaphat. You know, he was a great, good, godly king. And yet, you know, he compromised. Made an alliance with Ahab. Sealed that alliance by marrying his son off to Ahab and Jezebel's daughter. It says in 2 Chronicles 18:1, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. And only evil resulted from that. You know, when we compromise with evil, when we compromise with falsehood, there's only evil that comes from that. In 2 Chronicles 19, verse 1, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace in Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said unto Jehoshaphat, again, to his face, naming names, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. You know, we need wisdom in dealing with folks, whether they be in the Lord's church, whether they be the Lord's people, when they be outside the Lord's church. You know, not everybody who's not here in this assembly today is ungodly, obviously. Not all of them hate the Lord. But if we ally ourselves with those who do hate the Lord, you know, we've brought great harm to the people of God, to the cause of God. And so, yes, it is right to expose error, to name names. And I may have more to just expound a little bit about Jehoshaphat here later, but we have to be careful who we make alliances with and who we walk with. It's right to expose error. It's right to name those that are in error. It's right, as Jude says in verse 3 of his little epistle, to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. You know, it was once delivered. It's not been open for revision. And so we ought to beware, as Peter says in 2 Peter 2:1, beware of false teachers who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. And so it is that the faithful messengers must expose those who are heretics, who are false teachers, and identify them by name that the people of God might know. And it's not just enough to broadly hint, you know, at their identity. You know, for the young lambs don't understand. They may be destroyed, you know, by the wolves. Again, 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. Beware, but there were false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken of. Peter warns, there's going to be false teachers come in. And just by way of, this verse always gets into contrast, denying the Lord that bought them. The word there is the Greek word despotes, which speaks not like kurios, but it speaks of the master, of an absolute ruler. And he's the absolute ruler and the Lord and the master, and those people belong to him. Even the wicked, scripture says, you know, were made for the day of destruction. The Lord says in Matthew 5:45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. He's in control of all of it. And he's the master of all of it. And so it's important that we be prepared to speak the truth. And again, I understand in the context of Paul here, and I hope we understand, we're not talking about nitpicking and trying to, you know, pick the brethren off with little differences of one thing or another. And I don't claim to have all knowledge. In fact, I have less knowledge every day, it seems. Brother Hal helps me remember words sometimes, you know. But the Lord's gracious. And we have to stand for the truth that he's been pleased to reveal to us. Well, he continues on in verse 18 and kind of leave our excursus, I guess. He says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. By good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, neither going to be the servant of Christ, or you're going to be the servant of self. And Paul talked about that earlier in Romans here as well, as we extended passage there. You know, we're the servants of Christ, or we're the servants of self. And these false prophets that Paul's concerned with that would come into Rome, They have other motivations than being the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their motivation is self. Their motivation may be power, or it may be fame, or it may be wealth. They seek not to please Christ, but themselves, and by extension to please the men from which they derive their influence and their power and their profit. But with the true prophets of God, it's not thus. And so Paul says in Galatians 1:10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Paul wasn't concerned about making everybody happy. He was concerned about being the servant of Christ. And so he says of these false prophets, "For they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ," and then he says, "but their own belly." That's what they serve. That's their motivation. Personal gain. And with all too many in this day and age, you know, the ministry becomes a job. You look at all these denominations out here, you look at the whole Catholic mess and all the... What is it? It's a job. And of course you say, well, you got to eat. Well, so, you know, it's just like anything. You got to eat. No? Again, they're not the servants of Christ, but their own belly. I mean, that's boiling it down pretty simply there. You know, they're prophets for hire. Like we spoke of Balaam. They give people what they want. They appeal to the itching ear syndrome, as some have called it. Of course, drawing that from Scripture. "I beseech you, brother," or verse 18, "for they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speech deceive the hearts of the simple." Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 14:15, "The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his goings." Proverbs 22:3, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." I mean, you look at this world around us today and things that are going on, and people are just, you know, happy, and, you know, the football game's on, and, you know, I've got my adult beverage, and I've got, everything's just fine. Things have always been fine, they're going to always be fine. "The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." These false prophets do these things by good words and fair speeches. And indeed, that terminology is often used in a positive sense, but here it's clearly not. And be it in politics or be it in pulpits, you know, there are those that seek to use these good words, to use these fair speeches to appeal to people. And they'll use the same language we use, but they don't mean that. It's kind of like, you know, what the newspeak of 1984 and whatever. They use the same language, but it don't mean what we mean. It don't mean what Webster says it means. It means something entirely different to them. And they try to placate folks and say, "Listen, everything's okay. Everything's going to be okay." Diane was astounded this last week. You know what goes on in the governments here. You got Bernanke and everything. "We're just going to keep printing on money. Keep printing money. Keep printing money. Keep..." And the stock market goes up. She said, "What happened?" Well, that's what people wanted to hear, you know. And so that's... But, you know, you can't keep doing that forever. Jeremiah talks about some of these kind of folks. Jeremiah 23, verse 17, and the words of the Lord here. They say unto them that despise me, and these false prophets, they say unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said. Ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Everything's just fine. But the true man of God is forced to swim against the current. You know, as Paul wrote to young Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, he said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I don't think a lot of times, and most of us, you know, we're around some other people in the secular world and whatever. But even, you know, outside of the church here, it's we're probably surrounded with folks who are kind of like us. There, if you, whether it be, you know, Free Florida First meetings or you know, I go shooting, and some of those folks are Yankees and whatever, but generally, folks, you know, that's not the, I mean, you find all these folks, you know, all these folks that are supporting Obamacare, I don't really know any of them. Or know, or that, you know, are proudly voting. I see the cars on the street with those Obama stickers, and I try to stay as far away as I can from them. Scares me. But we generally, you know people like we are. By the grace of God, and I really mean that, by the grace of God, I think that most of us, and most of the folks we know, at least question things to some extent. We remain somewhat skeptical of people or of claims. But that's not really the general case. It's really not. You know, the prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. The simple believeth every word. And the false prophet comes and says, nothing bad's going to happen to you. So I used to talk about old, who's the guy that had those big old, like 100-foot Jesus he saw? Oral Roberts. You know, he used to start a show, if you used to ever watch him on Sunday, he'd be singing, something good's going to happen to you. But you see, that's the kind of folks that the Lord was talking to the prophet Jeremiah about. And the prophet Jeremiah was sent of the Lord, and he started his show every Sunday by saying, something bad's going to happen to you. And folks didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to listen to it. Now, that's not generally the case. And again, all you have to do is look at the kind of folks we have in leadership positions in the government. You know, look at the president we got. And now, that doesn't mean that you and I can't be deceived either. Now, if we think back just a little bit, a lot of us can think of some instances and times. And I can think, you know, folks who claim to be preachers, folks who claim to be of like faith and practice, folks who presented themselves as such. And yet, I found out, no, that wasn't the case. So, you know, we're called upon to test, to try, to look at these things. And there are folks out there. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You know, the true man of God, Paul said, I've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 17, he says this, but we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. You see, even at the time that Paul was writing to the saints in Corinth, there were many that were corrupting the word of God. Oh, they were speaking good words. They were making fair speeches. Brethren, and I won't get to this week, but let me just mention, when the Lord was tempted of Satan, what did Satan do? He quoted Scripture. You think just someone's coming quoting Scripture, that means they're not a false prophet? Are they not even Satan themselves? No, Satan quotes Scripture to Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Hey, well, folks do that again. They'll say, judge that you be not judged. You know, and they'll say, follow the golden rule. And that's the gospel. And again, I've heard it many a time, and I'm kind of wandering a little bit, but I got off to some of that first cemetery I went to. Man, I studied these books. I wanted to make sure everybody believed in the book, and I read their statements of faith, and they believe in the inspiration of Scripture. Well, I got there, and I found out they don't mean the same thing that I mean when I say the inspiration of Scripture. They don't mean the same thing that Webster means when they say the inspiration of Scripture. They don't mean the same thing the Bible says, Theonoustos, God breathed, when they say the inspiration of Scripture. They just mean it's something that kind of makes you warm and fuzzy. And, you know, something else might be just as inspired. You might be reading Shakespeare sometime and get some inspiration and guidance from God. Or you might be reading something else. And it's just all the same to them. I didn't realize that. I was stupid. I guess I was simple. You know, so we need to guard against those things. Because they're false teachers and there's false prophets. And they're seeking to deceive the hearts of the simple. And I just pray that God might be pleased to keep us from being those simple. And that He might allow us to set forth His truth and be willing, if necessary, to confront those false teachers and false prophets. Let's take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 354, He Elected Me. Number 354.
Star or time, there was God's Lamb most glorious and so sublime, who said unto His Father, all thine are surely because He elected me, He elected me. Savior came from above down to this horrible sin-sick world and the miry clay. He came to save his people from their awful sin and shame, and set their feet upon sin abounded, grace set me free, and all because he elected me. He elected me, he elected me, in eternity he elected me. Yes, I was born.
Father, we thank thee for this day. Father, we thank thee for your sovereign election. Lord, we know that the only thing that makes us differ from any other is that, and that alone. No good in us, no wisdom in us. Father, we thank you for that eternal love. Father, we pray that you help us to not be as the simple. But to be discerning, to be discriminating. Lord, to look for compliance to your word. To judge with a righteous judgment in accordance with your word. Father, we realize just how lacking we are in wisdom and knowledge. So, Father, we pray for the work of your Spirit in our lives as we go about our daily lives, as we go about this sin-cursed world. And Lord, may we, as you give us opportunity to speak forth your truth, and realizing that you alone can open eyes and ears and hearts to receive it. Father, thank you for each one that's here. I just pray your hand upon us, and we pray in particular for your hand upon our brother Pruffle, as he's away from us today, and that you give him a safe return to home today, and that we may all, by your grace, assemble together next week. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior's atoning death. Thank you for what he accomplished. Thank you, Lord, that it's finished. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.